Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, today we celebrate meaningful things. And it's amazing how fast-paced life can be, and if we don't take a minute to slow down, things run over us, and we don't dominate things. We don't dominate the landscape. Today, you know, the government was doing a wise thing, in my opinion, to set aside a day to honor mothers, but how sad if that's the day that we only do it. Or the day that we only think about doing it in a very special way. You know, we have to stop and think about things like that, or we find that time gets away from us. That's what time does. It expires. And what we want to make sure is that life's incredibly important moments don't expire with time, because when they're gone, the opportunity may not roll around again the way we think. I think of how many times I've experienced a departure conversation with a person that I didn't know would be gone before I would see them again. Or a person that would be in a different mode or mindset when I would see them again. Or thinking of my mother or my wife or my daughter, how life changes and moments as they are can be gone and never quite be the same again. So you seize the moment. If today is about anything, it's to recognize moments are for you to seize, to make as meaningful as you can, not just in your memory, but more so in the memories of others. How do people feel when they see your face? What do they think when they think of you? What one word would they use to describe you based on your last encounter with them? That's the encounter that matters the most, the last one, because it leaves an impression we call the lasting impression. So once in a while, go through your human relationship inventory and ask yourself, what one word would they think of me right now? What have I left them with? And work to enrich the landscape of your last impressions. We focus a lot on first impressions because people buy and sell based on the emotion they find in first impressions. But lasting memories never stop with a first impression. They are built over time in a relationship by investing more impression. And the most important impression you can make on a person, another person, is the one that they have been designed to receive by God. Honor is one of the most significant ones. God put it in us to need that, not to want it, to need it. Now, when we start to have that need fulfilled a little bit, we decide we also want some of that. It's one of the things God put in our nature so that we would learn to be more like Him, not just in the receiving of it, but more in the giving of it. When we learn to honor people well, the way God designed us to, we begin to honor God well. Our capacity and both grow at the same time. So today we're looking at the scripture to see how Jesus and even the Heavenly Father honored women. This is beyond Mother's Day. This is like a woman's message. This is for the women, because when we get to the Father's Day, it's going to be Men's Day, and the women are going to feel like, well, Pastor went overboard making this about men. Today is about women, and I'm going overboard for the women. All right. Why? You deserve it. Every person deserves a moment to believe that God is investing in their particular life, their particular situation. We find in the scripture a phrase that is very meaningful when you understand it. It's a certain woman. Over and over in the scripture, we find the phrase a certain woman because God has in mind her uniqueness when he's dealing with her and her life. God has in mind her assignment to the husband, to the family, to everybody in her life, that there's a unique assignment that's part of God's plan to fulfill. I believe every leader, every Christian leader, every person who's going to step out and do something for the kingdom of God has inspiration and seed that's been planted, especially by mother. Why? Especially little boys learn what empathy they're going to learn more from mother than daddy. And boys need some empathy and they need some compassion and they need some of those gentler traits to relate to a wife someday. If you don't believe me, they are the traits that a young man most uses to woo the one he wants to marry. That he can be gentle, he can be compassionate, he can be kind, he can be thoughtful. He can be special. He can show her a unique kind of love. He will express to her things he would tell nobody else. Where did he get that? Probably from mama. Why? Mamas carry that and know that it's necessary to make the household thrive. So Jesus knew when he came to the earth that Heavenly Father in the beginning created women with certain attributes that make the home complete, that make life complete. It amazes me and astonishes me today how the world is trying to take away human uniqueness and that in that maleness and femaleness. God separated the two because no one person was meant to do it all and could fulfill it all. God looked at himself and says, no, even my creation's not going to be able to do this just through one person. We need two working at this job of one. Two makes life not just more complete, it makes it more possible. It makes it more possible to express everything that needs to be expressed. Something that men can learn to say once in a while to their woman when she beats you to the punch and she says what needed to be said the most and it was the most meaningful and you feel like, oh, I should have been the one to say that. You say, thank you for making me complete. Thank you for saying what I didn't say. Thank you for bringing it to the forefront. Why? She's going to be more about that. And when we celebrate that, what happens? More joy is in the house. You know, I laugh at the things I hear people say when they're out in the public and they're well-meaning. And the thing I heard this week out in public the most regarding Mother's Day that guys would say, it was almost the same identical thing. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I thought, what a motivation to do Mother's Day. None of them said it in front of mama. They were saying it to other guys. But all of the guys responded the same way. Why? We know there's things we are meant to fulfill in one another. And we just as well cooperate with God's plan in it. Life's better. Well, women can be the most persistent of God's creation, the first thing. This is Mark 5, 26 and 27. This is a certain woman, and we're looking at the phrase certain woman. A certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in from behind and touched his garment, and we know what happened. She received her healing, and the issue of blood stopped. Now, when we look at the real meaning in this story, most scholars agree that this woman probably had an issue and was not able to bear children. She had gone to great lengths to address the issue of fertility so she could be a mother, because in those days, particularly in Old Testament culture, a woman found her value expressed through bearing children for her husband. So much so that there was not much opportunity for fulfillment, and it was almost a shamefulness to not have kids. Now, women today enjoy more liberty than that and find many ways as a man does to find fulfillment in this life, but there's something in this woman's life that was missing, and she was coming in from a situation of disadvantage, but she was determined. There's something God puts in the ladies, a special determination to rise up from being underneath a situation, to come in from behind, to come over the top of whatever she has to, especially when it comes to kids and a family. There's something God put in there that Jesus honored. In this story, he looked at the woman, he said, "You don't qualify." But she got her way anyway, because she was not willing to give up. We find out that certain women in the scripture that God moves for are the ones that didn't give up, because faith is expressed in tenacity sometimes. This woman had some. She was not willing to give up. Everybody knew when she was pressing through the crowd that she had a problem. She was determined to find Jesus to fix the problem. And no matter what's going on with your family or your kids, if you're a mama, you'll become the she-bear to overcome anything it takes for your kid. God put that in moms. Today, think about an instance when mom was the she-bear for you and celebrate that. Ask her if her claws have gone back in yet. Why? Mamas can fight for their babies. I've seen some of you. If you think somebody's being a little too strong, or somebody said something they shouldn't have, or stepped out there and told your child, "No, we don't run in church." I watch mama. She's getting ready. If it ends there, we're fine. But if somebody's going to say a little too sharp, the claws come out. Why? God made them that way. Why? Life requires somebody to be on guard all the time. Now, secondly, women who cooperate with God change the future. I put cooperate with God because God's always looking for a person, and it's more likely going to be the ladies that are sensitive to how God feels about things. Guys are not as sensitive to feelings. If you haven't learned that, you need to know that right up front. Ladies, don't expect your guys to be as sensitive to feelings as you are. God gave the ladies more of the feeling when he pulled the two apart out of Adam. Now, you can agree or disagree, but if you look at the scripture, it talks about the ladies being the weaker vessel, and all it really means there is she handles things differently, and you need to let her handle it her way. He handles things differently. You need to let him handle it his way. But if you really want things to work out well, you put the two ways together and incorporate them, and then you've got a dynamo. This is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, another story about a certain woman. Now, there cried a certain woman. Women are authorized to cry and cry out. She's crying out to the man of God. She's crying out because she has a desperate situation. She's crying out because she's in trouble with her kids. I would say in ministry, one of the three top things, and it's probably really the top thing, is family stuff. I mean, everybody deals with financial stuff and health stuff, and those all move to the back burner if something's going on in the family. I've learned when people want to talk, the most important thing's going to be about family, even if everything's good in the family. Why? We like to talk about family. Why? It's a priority. It's an urgent thing in our life. Now, this woman in this story had lost her husband. Her husband served the Lord. Her husband served the Lord and worked for a prophet or a pastor of the day. And she was left hurting in a time of drought, in a time of lack, in a time of trouble, and recognized ladies weren't much allowed to have skills then. I know, it wasn't really right. We'll call it oppressive. It was oppressive. I would line up with the ladies of today and do away with oppression. We should do away with oppression for everybody. But this gal was oppressed because her role had been to support her husband, have his children, and rear them at home. That was pretty much what was allowed in that culture. So she's crying out of need to Elisha, saying, "My husband is dead and the creditors come, the banks come to my house." In those days, if they didn't see anything of value, they took the people. So she had two boys. Chances are they're about 14. They're probably pretty strong. They evidently had some look of being able to produce some work, because she said, "The banker's coming to take away my boys to be slaves." And Elisha said, "What should I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She said, "I have a pot of oil and some sticks." We know the story. You've heard me preach the story before. The woman did what the man of God said, and there was a cooperation. between the plenty that God had and the nothing that the woman had. There was the little pot of oil that was the seed money to believe that God would make the difference that the woman couldn't make, that God would make the difference that the man wasn't there to make. This is good for single moms today. God takes the place of the dad when he's not there. If you learn to trust him with what little you do have, he'll multiply it and make it more. He'll not let the enemy cabbage onto your kids. He'll not make them take a lower station in life in the days to come. He'll not deprive them of a future or an education or anything else. Why? We learn how to believe God. And when life is dealt something that is unfair, we choose to believe God's going to make it right because he is in charge of our lives when we give our lives to him. That's what it means to make Jesus Lord. It means, Jesus, by your direction and your help, my life is going to come together more and more and more. And I'm not having to depend on everything out in this world to work out just right, because you're going to be there for me to make the difference. And this woman recognized that in part. But I would say more than her faith, she's desperate. She's crying out. She's having the determination of mama flare up in her. She's having the desire to see her kids do better than she did. She's dealing with the idea that life has been unfair to her. She's talking to the man who was her husband's boss and probably laying a little guilt on him. She's going to any length, doing whatever it takes, putting herself out there because she loves her boys that much. You're holding your breath because any parent would do the same, even if they were the preacher's wife. Why? This is her kids we're talking about. Was she trying to do it right? She went to the right person. She was trying to handle it in the right way. But she was also letting the man of God know, I don't have much. And he said, God's going to do something with what you have. Get yourself ready. Today, if you're feeling a hopelessness in your relationships, any human relationship, God says to you, if you'll get yourself ready, he'll pour something in. He'll take something that you do have on the inside as a seed and cause you to put it in his hands. And when you put it in his hands, he multiplies it so much that it overflows his hands. This is the thing about putting something in God's hands. He never holds on to it. It multiplies as soon as it touches the creator of the universe. When it touches his hands, it goes to the overflow, because he's the God of abundance, the God of harvest, the God of plenty. And automatically, immediately, there is an overflow dripping from his hands. And I believe it becomes a gusher that comes into your life. And this woman experienced that. God didn't mind that she was emotional. He allowed her to be. God didn't disqualify her because of her desperation. He took delight in it. God didn't look at her situation and say, I think she needs to learn a lesson. She was far past needing to learn any lesson. She needed to move on with life. Never think God is penalizing you for something you've done. I bet it went through her mind when her husband died and she found herself in that situation. What have I done wrong? We don't see it recorded in the Word. Why? Because God doesn't want us to meditate on that. He wants us to look ahead to his abundance and his good and say, for whatever reason this happened to me, what the enemy meant to steal from me is going to be turned around for the good, and God's going to bring it back in abundance. This woman who was in poverty with two kids looking at a certain death was about to become the richest woman in the whole region. Because she was going to have what nobody else had at the time everybody else needed it. And she went from 0 to 100 in a matter of hours. I don't know how fast the oil poured out. But don't you know, her emotional health improved as the oil came in. Don't you know, her vision for these boys radically changed as the oil poured in. Don't you know, by the end of the first day when this was going on, she was able to stand up straight again and open the shutters to her house and look out with some optimism instead of pessimism? How quickly God will change our perspective when we let him pour something in. This was a certain woman's story. She was sowing her little bit of oil to cook something for the man of God, for a supernatural harvest. Never underestimate what God will do with the rest of your day when you give him the emotion of your heart. I believe there was an emotional offering given. I believe when she cooked the cake for the man of God, she was thinking, this ain't right to have to give this to God when my two boys there are going to starve by tomorrow. But she honored the word of the Lord, and he came through for her. When mama gets desperate, she will find a way. Say, why are you saying mama? I think it's gentler than mother. Our kids were born in the South. They called Lucinda mama till we moved here, and they thought it was incorrect. Daddy, should we call you mother and dad? I said, no, daddy and mama's fine. Now, just throwing that in. Mark 7:25. Another certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Jesus and came and fell at his feet. Why? She's desperate. She just heard of him. Doesn't say she knew much about him. He must not have known her, but she just came running in and threw herself on the mercy of the Lord Jesus. People want to do that if they know who to go to. She was desperate. She besought him to cast the devil out of her daughter, and Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, or woman, you don't have any right to ask for this. She didn't care what her rights were. When we approach the Lord, we need to be determined like this woman was. It's not meet to take the children's bread, or woman, this wasn't meant for you. And she said, but Lord, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. Call me a dog, call me anything you want to, but let me have what I came here for. I need something for my child. I need you to rebuke the devil. I want to tell you as a parent, when you have a child that the enemy has gotten hold of somehow, be determined like this woman to fall at the feet of Jesus and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. If you've ever been there, you know you can come to the point where you can't do anything. You are found powerless and helpless, and typically people around you who mean well but are ignorant to what it takes in that situation want to bring comfort by saying it'll be all right, and you know it's not going to be all right. You know you've tried everything to make it be all right, and it's not all right. And you know nothing short of a miracle of God is going to make it right. That's when you fall at the feet of Jesus, because falling at the feet of man isn't going to do any good. Some of you are saying, I hope I never have a situation like that. I hope you never do either. But if you're a lover of people, somebody in your life will require a miracle of God like that, where you've tried everything and you back up and you think, what have we done wrong? What's wrong with our family? What's wrong? What's wrong with this kid? How could the enemy try to destroy his life or her life like that? How is it that they've gotten so far away from God? That's what the world does. The world has a devil in it. And when the enemy tries to get a hold of something, it takes the determination. I love this story because it was not the determination of the child. It was the determination of the parent. And we see Jesus personally honoring it, even though he looked at the woman, he said, you're not even in the family of God. We'd say it today, not even a Christian, doesn't know anything about the Lord Jesus, but she had heard of him. That doesn't take much to have enough faith to get something for your kid. I want you to see this. She was not a polished disciple. She was not a follower of the Lord Jesus. She had simply heard of him, and it was enough for him to move for her. What did he do? He challenged her a little bit and said, you're not really qualified. And you know what she said? I don't think qualifications of mine come into the matter. This is my kid we are talking about. And this is for my kid. If you want me to grovel and get under the table and lay there with my mouth open for a crumb, I will do it. I don't know if you've ever been around a mom that's desperate like that. Many years ago when I worked in business, I employed many single moms. Many of them were battered when they came to work. And I made it my aim to help them. And we had certain benevolences and things that we did, but I learned always that these moms were concerned about one thing more than anything, and that was their kids. So why are you allowing this to happen to you? And we were in a friendship relationship. They were working for our company, and they could see that I was going to be fair, that I would treat them with some dignity, that they would come there and it would be a safe place. They would come and bring their kids, and we would provide daycare because the properties would let us do that somewhere, and they'd never seen anything like that. And it gave us the ability to speak into life. But I listened, and every time I heard the same thing: I will take and do whatever I have to for the good of my kids. And nobody's going to hurt them, and nobody's going to take them away from me. And if I have to get between my kids and that man to take the beating, then I will. And something in me just turned over. I said, oh God, help us be able to help people like this. But I heard it again and again and again. Now, that's out in the world, and it shouldn't be happening, but it does happen because people get in trouble and don't have the love of God, don't know the love of God, don't know any better. Maybe they grew up that way. Maybe they have had a lot of hurts. Maybe today you're one of those people that have been hurt like that and in a hurting situation like that. Jesus wants us to reach out to Him like this desperate woman did. Said, Jesus, I have nowhere else to turn. How many times I heard those women say, I have to stay with Him until I have somewhere else to go. But as soon as I do, I'm taking my kids and we're on the run. And they'd always come close to me and look me right in the eye and say, promise me, Mr. Doug, you'll not tell him where I am. And I'd look at him and say, I promise, I'll never tell. And you know what? I saw many, many work toward their freedom. Almost never did you see a reconciliation. Because without God, those situations are not easily fixed. But I tell you today, as you're talking to your mom or talking to your wife, there's somebody else out there unreconciled. There's somebody else out there that had to make a shift and a change. Don't blame them. Love them. Receive them. Have compassion on them. Let your heart go out to them. When you begin to love somebody like that, Jesus is getting to come in to their life. Jesus empowers women. As disciples and leaders, this is from Luke 10, beginning in verse 38, and two sisters, Mary and Martha, followers of the Lord Jesus, invited Jesus to their house. And, you know, ladies are not all the same. The first thing I learned in dating girls is they're not the same. You think they're the same as a young guy, you're kind of told, they're all the same. No, I found out right, no, they're not all the same. They don't all like the same things, talk about the same things, or anything else. They're each one different. And we find Mary and Martha with the same genetic, the same DNA, the same upbringing. They're close together in life. They probably lived in the same block, is my guess, if not the same house, by what some of the stories say. They both were followers of the Lord Jesus, but they were like night and day. Okay. Now, we see Jesus affirming night and day. We see Jesus showing value in the difference. We saw Jesus mediating and making a difference. Many daughters are the opposite pole of their mother. One of the most emotional things that happens in families is when kids tick differently than mom or dad. And rather than become sensitive to how one another works, we want everybody to be the same way that we are. And Jesus in this story said, make room for everybody to be the way I created them to be. Give them room to express things and show the values the way that they do. And in our everyday life, it means give everybody their space and respect that God may have made them differently. You might say, well, how could it be in the same house there's this many different kind of personalities and wide range of emotion? Because God designed us in a household to experience more of what He's really like when you look at everybody in the house. God has feelings. And you may not identify with some of His feelings, but Jesus did. said he was touched with even the feelings of our infirmities. He even knows the bad ones and has compassion on us. Jesus answered and said to Martha, because the sisters had gotten into it. And Martha and Mary were at odds, and Jesus wanted, I think, a peaceful house to be in and a peaceful place to minister. And I think he needed them to get along. Understand, one of the perspectives of the Lord Jesus is he needs you to get along with your family. He puts you together as part of his plan, even if you don't like it and don't understand it. He put siblings in the same house for something in his plan. Pastor, you don't know my family. I know enough about families to know when you say that, I know what you're talking about. Jesus did it. Think of what the scripture says. It says, he was gracious enough to give us each a body, and he decided which body and to which family we came. That denotes that we were a spirit being in heaven sent here. And he chose where he was sending us. So, I don't know if I like that. He sent you there on purpose, both for things to celebrate and things to overcome. Why? It would make you a part of who he is in the earth. You represent, something in you represents heaven, and other people may not understand that part of you. That's what's happening to Mary and Martha. They had never yet gotten heaven's perspective on their difference. So what God meant to celebrate and use in their life caused a warring and fighting rather continually. Understand, if there's a stir and fighting in the house, there's something beneath all the fight that God planted that he wants to use if you'll work it out. And he'll use it in a way that will empower the family. I don't believe after this instance the sisters miraculously got along and loved and respected everything about one another. I think they said to each other, remember what Jesus said. Remember what the Bible says, how we'd say it today. But he said, one thing is needful, because Jesus answered and said to Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. And it wasn't as demeaning as it sounds. She was a caregiver. She had a hospitality gift. She was running around the house fretting that the food was just right and, you know, the lampshades were straight and the front door had been washed and the laundry was all put away and the bathroom smelled good. Whatever, she was running around doing all of that, and she couldn't satisfy her need to see that done, so she wanted to ask her sister to help her do it, and the sister had no interest in it. Happens in every house, doesn't it? It depends on the timing. But one thing is needful, and Jesus is talking to Martha and Mary. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. There's something in every woman that she fights to hang on to that is a part of her innermost being. There's a part of her that knows when she's being fulfilled, that knows when she's doing something that connects with God's purpose for her life, and she should fight to keep it right. And Jesus is letting both of these women know what God has put in your heart as a predisposition to do for the kingdom of God is a place where you experience value and love from the Heavenly Father. Don't let anybody take away from you what it is that gives you affirmation from the Heavenly Father. And Jesus is elevating the station of every woman he encounters. You see him elevating the station and saying, you can be all that God designed you to be. You can be more than you think you can be. And he was lifting the curtain of oppression that was over women when he came into the earth. And he was saying, God did not plan it to be this way. We're going to fix what is broken. And he's speaking to these two women, and he knew it's going to be tough for them to ever get along like they should. But I'm going to tell them what the truth so that they work at it and learn to celebrate one another. And one would say to the other, I'm glad what you learned. And the other would say, well, I'm glad the pie tastes good. And they'd get along and they'd value each other equally. That's a tough assignment, but it's one Jesus put before him. There was another woman much like this, Lydia, a businesswoman who had died, and I think it's Acts 16, it's the later part of Acts. She had died and she was known, Lydia, the seller of purple. It means she owned a business. She was successful. She supported ministry and she did a lot of things for the poor and a lot of things for the needy. She was very, very giving, and this woman had died, and it was another woman that saw a promise in the plan of God and saw that her destiny could do something more than what she thought when she was a little girl. And she had died, and Jesus rose her back up, brought her back to life, moved everybody out of the way and brought her back to life, because God's always taking what seems to be dead. And I think of Lydia, I think of dead dreams that people have. That in the middle of a successful season, or in the middle of a life with promise, or in the middle of a situation, a person, a woman particularly, that is stricken down by something. Something doesn't go the way that she expected. Hopefully not to die like this, but if you've ever had a dream die, it's like part of you that dies. And women tend to feel that more deeply than men. Men get up in the morning and shake themselves and say, okay, let's pick a new dream. Women get up and want to gather the fragments and glue it back together, because that dream's been in them since about 3 years old, probably, where guys shift gears constantly. You know, what car you wanted last year, you probably got a different one in mind this year because they're making them newer, faster, and better. And guys tend to think that way. Gals tend to, they gather those pieces and fix broken things. Why, God made them that way. So Lydia, the seller of purple, having been a woman like that, was gone. But they were crying out, and many said, look, Jesus, at everything that she was doing for your kingdom. You know what he did? He raised her from the dead. When you have a dream that seems to have died, ladies, for whatever reason, you come back to the Lord Jesus and just begin to cry out to him and watch him gather the pieces. He can glue things back together in a way we never can. He can put a plan back together in a way that we never can, and his design will be better than ours was the first time. Now, Jesus restores and raises up faithful women. Last point today, why I'm determined, I did this one different than before. I practiced my timing so that you can maybe even beat the Methodist to the restaurant. I don't know, but maybe you can. But you certainly won't be standing in line saying, Pastor went over. All right, Acts 9:36. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple, another woman. Oh, she's got a title. See, we've always been a church that believes in empowering women to do the work of the ministry. That's not always been the case, and today it's still not the case in many congregations. But here it is in Acts 9, the early church. There was at this city, Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She died, and Peter came in and knelt down, and this is a paraphrase. And he prayed, and he said, Tabitha, arise. He sent everybody out, but he called her by name, and he said, I want you to get up. There is a point in life where every woman, no matter how dead she is to a situation, needs a man with authority in her life to tell her it's worth getting up, to tell her it's time to get up, to come with a voice with some power in it to get up. Because when a person gets down enough, and this gal was dead, when a person gets down enough, particularly a woman gets down enough, she has to be called up out of that dark place. We see Jesus doing it so much that he's calling her back from the grave. Did you know the power of God in you has the power to do that for someone else, to call them out of their dark place and bring them back to God kind of life? This woman was full of good works and alms deeds. He says it in a way as though when her physical body died, she was the embodiment of all those things. When people looked at her, they remembered all of the good things that she had done. When they looked at her, they had a vision of Jesus living through her. When they looked at her, they had a great sense of loss. When we look through the eye of compassion, the person that we're speaking to will hear at a deeper level. When we look and we're just talking, doesn't mean much. But have you ever had one person talk to you and you sort of let it roll off, but another person gets you and wow, bam, there's a connection. Make that connection. Jesus is making that kind of connection through Peter. She died, and Peter knelt down and prayed and said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes up and she sat up. She got partway there. And number one, he gave her his hand. Said, "I'm going to help you transform from the dark place that you're in." He gave her his hand and he lifted her up. And then he did something that we don't understand the meaning of completely. He presented her to the group alive. The word alive there has the connotation of a resurrection life, a God kind of life. We know he raised her from the dead. But when he got a hold of her and lifted her, and remember, there was a man with authority, there was a person with authority, and I believe sometimes, men, it takes a man with authority to speak into a woman's life the strength of a man that she may not have in her life. She may not have anybody to say, "I'm with you, I'm for you, I'll fight for you, I'll die for you if I have to." Peter spoke that way into her dead body and then reached down and took her and pulled her up. But when he turned her around to present here, he was saying, "This is the new raised from the dead, new life woman, God in this Tabitha. Look and watch and see what she's going to do now, because you're getting the new and restored and redeemed version." Because what? They wanted her. Why did Jesus come in the first place? Somebody wanted her restored. When you want somebody restored like that, Jesus does it that way. Somebody will have the guts and gumption to challenge what it looks like and speak life into a dead situation. And that same somebody then will reach out and do what it takes. I don't believe that Tabitha was going to get that far that fast without the hand of God coming upon her. As I pray for you, as women, as a congregation, as ladies today, I'm including all of the ladies. Why? God is like Peter in your life speaking to you. He knows what dreams are unfulfilled. He knows what good is in your heart. He knows what good that you have done. And he knows that he wants to empower you. Today, a day to honor mothers, is really a day we should think this is a day God's empowering, showing his empowerment in women. Why? He trusts them. He trusts women to feel the things that he feels. When we see these certain women, they were all going through feeling some things. And ladies, you've been made to feel guilty before for having deep feelings. I say this to you, Jesus would say this to you. Congratulations for getting something right. He made you to feel deeply, but he then gave you a male authority in Christ Jesus first, but also a husband if you have one, to speak over you words of life, words that would challenge you to come up and be all that God made you to be restored to something. And recognize this. This story says one thing pronouncedly. We need the authority of God to open our eyes where we have been blind to what God made us to do. Deep down we know, and particularly ladies, you know, God made you for something great, and if there's anything you hate, it's for somebody to put you down and make you feel like you cannot be something. I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, and I have memories and I'm seeing visions of all of those women years past that came in trodden down. When you get lifted up, watch God move through you like there's no tomorrow. That's what today's about. Men, you are that voice today. Be like Peter, speaking life, speaking encouragement, putting your hand out to raise her up, cause her to be what she needs to feel like today. And she might remind you, if you forget, you told her this. Let her be the queen of the world today. No man said amen. That was it. That was a cue. That was like we could end. If let her today be the queen of the day.
Amen.
And tomorrow when she reminds you.
Amen.
Yeah. Tomorrow was weaker. Did you notice that? What do we got to be reminded. Jesus gave us the ability to do it right, and we need one another. Fellas, you have your own ways. you need her to be. We'll do that another day. Stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, thank you for your expression of great love to us, for your desire to live through us, Father, for our desire to do life better than we've ever done it before. Heavenly Father, I ask you, empower us, every person here, to receive of your grace and your goodness. Today, to be others focused as much as we can be and express your love and your goodness. Father, let us identify with emotion in a healthy way. Father, for every lady particularly here, and some men too, dealing with hurt and rejection from past difficulty, I ask that the blood of Jesus wash that away as much as possible, that there not be a toxic emotion, that there not be a sense of being downtrodden today. But Father, that we receive your anointing of goodness to be lifted up. Jesus, we see you reaching out to us and pulling us up, elevating our hope for this life, elevating our expectation in this life, and giving us the grace to do all things well. Father, thank you for every man and every young man in this congregation learning how to do things better all the time. Father, thank you for loving us that much. Father, thank you for your help, your anointing to do better all the time. Father, I'm proud of this congregation. Father, I'm thankful for godly men. Father, I'm thankful for ladies that let the men build them up and lift them up, encourage them, that won't say today, I don't need any of that, but rather we'll recognize you gave us a dynamic called relationship where we absolutely want and need and are fulfilled by the expressions coming from the other. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.